Thank you, Sandy, for that instrumental this morning to open up our worship service. Well, welcome to Versailles Baptist Church, and we hope you've had a great week in the Lord and come this morning to worship and praise His holy name. As you have your programs in front of you, I will just highlight a few of the announcements that are in the bulletin. After worship, church this morning, don't forget about the Sunday school class immediately following our service. And then on Tuesday, due to the election, the office will be closed. And by the way, when you come to the office door in the back on Main Street, opening to the door that's leading into Carol's office, the outside door has a button camera there. So all you have to do is just push it. You'll hear a voice and you'll hear the door unlock and you can come in, okay? So that's a new feature that our trustees has added to our church. And it's one that, well, go ahead, Ted.
Remind them that if they do have a key still works.
Yes. Yes, so we can see who you are, and we can, without having to come unlock it, push the bar, we can push a button, you can come right on in. So, yes, if you have a key, just use it and come on in if you'd like to do that. All right, and Wednesday night, we have our regular Bible study, and it'll be on Samuel this Wednesday night. And don't forget, next Sunday is the deadline for the Operation Child shoebox. So don't forget about that. If you have any questions, please see Crystal. She can answer any questions you may have. And also in your bulletin this morning, this is Communion Sunday, and there should be a deacon's envelope inside for donations. There's not. Oh, okay. I guess we had to pick them up. Oh, they are? Okay. Maybe some of them fell out. If you need one, want one, see myself or Dennis, one of the deacons, and we'll be sure to get you one so you can make a donation. And it tells you there in the note inside the bulletin what it's for, to help, to assist those who are in need within our church or outside our church, and also helps with our fruit baskets Christmas time. And there's a thank you from Brenda and myself for last Sunday, Pastor Appreciation. It was awesome. Awesome. We cannot thank you enough. Our hearts are very grateful and appreciative of your love and support of us, and for having a Pastor Appreciation Sunday and month. So thank you again from the bottoms of our heart. Let's see. I think that's all, unless there's one from the floor.
Chris?
Okay. Thank you, Crystal. Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40:31, which is one of my favorite verses. And Nancy read that last Sunday. And we will do it again this morning. If you want to read along with me in your bulletin, let's do it together. This is an awesome passage of Scripture. Yet those who wait for the Lord, will mount up with wings like eagle. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. Isaiah 40:31. If you haven't memorized that verse, do so. It's not that hard. And sometimes, you know, throughout your week or throughout your life, that verse will come in very handy for you. Remind you that the Lord is answering prayers, and He provides anything in our lives, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. At this time, we're going to be standing, and we're going to be singing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. May we stand. Seated. Now we will look at our praises and prayer concerns. And on the back, you'll notice there's a praise. It says, thank you to those who walked, Gigi and Junior, from our church and helped with the 5K walk for the CEF last Saturday and for all of those who made donations. Any other praise? All right. Our prayer concerns are there listed on the bulletin. We continually want to remember the family of Laverne Self. That's Wyatt Self's mother, who passed away. Service was a week ago. And for those who have recently had surgery or recovering, are there at the bottom called medical. And James Martin has Abe Hunter, I guess it's a relative, so we need to remember him. He is the latest one we put on our bulletin. Any other names? Anyone that you would like to add? Yes, Janet. Okay. All right. Natalie Brinson. Yes, Junior. Okay, name's Chris Snyder, yes, okay. Yes, Crystal. Thank you, Crystal. Any unspoken requests? All right, let us pray. Oh, I'm sorry. Beth?
Well, it kind of, I wanted to do a praise today. Rachel didn't have her baby.
Oh, yes.
The medical concerns, but I didn't want to mention the praise because I can't sit here and just be silent.
Yes.
Because they've now got a busy little house.
Yes.
So the other two kids stayed with us for 3 nights, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. But we were just so excited and praise the Lord for the blessing of a new little one, a grandchild. And to mom and dad for a great-grandchild.
Yeah. His name is Lane Matthews.
Lane Matthews.
Yes.
Matthew, and her last name is Walhorn.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So 2 in 1 year. Noah was born in January and Lane was born in October. So
yeah.
We've had a couple of big praises this year.
Grandmother is kind of speechless. She can't say anything right now, can she? She's so excited, she's speechless. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Beth. Yes. Okay, let's, anyone else? I don't want to leave anyone out if you have prayer, need, or concern, praise. Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we are very grateful for this day, the day that you have made for us to come into your sanctuary, to worship, to praise, to fellowship with one another, and to fellowship with you. Lord, we welcome you. You're most graciously welcome in our lives to lead us and guide us each day. And Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. And as we have assembled here this morning, we thank you for everyone that's here and for those listening today. And Lord, we always come to you with grateful hearts. And Lord, you welcome us to bring our concerns and our petitions to you as well. You've heard each one, and we have shared those, the praises and the prayer concerns as well. And we lift them up in the name of Jesus for your blessing, for your comfort, your peace, and the joy, Lord, of knowing that the ones we are praying for, Lord, you're already at work in their lives, already provide healing and comfort and that peace that, Lord, we seek. And we find in you. Bless this service today, Lord, and our communion service that follows, Lord, to remember your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, died for our sins. We're grateful and thank you for that, and that we can remember him by taking the bread and the cup that shows our love for him as well. Be with us as we this week, as people will be going to the polls and cast their vote. And Lord, we just pray that each person that does will vote their conviction, Lord, knowing what Scripture tells us of our responsibilities and our responsibility to you to be true in our decisions that we make in life. Big or small, Lord, they're very important in your sight. Bless this service, Lord, and we praise and we thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Sandy, you're doing our
junior.
Okay. Junior, you come. this time, and you'll be singing "The Longer I Serve Him." Is that correct?
"The Sweeter He Grows."
"The Sweeter He Grows." Amen.
"Sweeter He Grows." So, you know, if he ain't growing sweet in our life, we ain't serving him. And since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Very well done, Junior. Thank you so much. Our scripture reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 62. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. I will not be able to put up on the screen this morning. We're having, I don't know, technical difficulties with our computer. It's not functioning or not adequately displaying the slides up overhead, so we do it the old-fashioned way, right? Through the Word. And this scripture talks about Zion, glory, and a new name that will be given to Zion, or Jerusalem. In the Bible, different people were given new names according to their character and the work that God called him to. And so I entitled this, "Look, Your Savior Comes." So as Isaiah prophesies for the coming future, and so we see here that in this message this morning that God's grace is still sufficient in every area, even though Israel sinned and they had hard hearts at times, God still favored them and was always going to provide salvation and restoration in their lives, the same as he does with us today. So let's look, beginning with verse 1, Isaiah chapter 62. "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch. that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness and all your kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate or will name. You will also be crowned of beauty in the hand of the Lord, the royal diadem. Diadem means crown. In the hand of your God, it will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor your land will it any longer be said desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her, in your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. As long as a man marries a virgin, so his sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, or Zion, I have appointed a watchman, and all day and all night they will never keep silent. You will remain in the Lord. Take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth, which he will. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, clear the way for the people, bind up, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth to say the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. So here we see Isaiah, he's talking about Zion and giving them a new name and still providing salvation and restoration in their lives. See, God has a wonderful end in mind for his people, all people who belong to him. And as long as he purposed redemption, righteousness and restoration of the people of Zion, they will always be close to God. So they may anger God by their sin or by their hard-heartedness, but he stands ready to give or save and make them a holy people. That's what kind of God we have. That's what kind of God we serve. A God of grace. So, though the people had deserted or sometimes did desert God, his ways will never forget them, nor will he ever forsake them. And one day the people of Zion will respond and become holy and righteous people. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, it says, yes, Lord, come quickly. You know, the day is coming that he will be coming quickly. And as we see all the things within our world taking place and the prophesied being fulfilled, Jerusalem or Zion will be given a new name along with us. So let's see how God continues or will continue to speak to Zion and call them into a deep, meaning relationship. So first of all, let's look at God will not hold His peace in verses 1 through 5. And as we look at these verses, I probably won't read them all over again, but just to highlight on these verses, there's 12, and I will go as quickly as possible this morning because we will be taking communion together. But these messages here in Isaiah have been a blessing to me, and it's been a blessing to share these with you, and they're so important for our lives today. So in verse 1, God promises to continue speaking to and dealing with the people of Zion until glorious changes are shaped in their lives. He keeps working in our lives until He sees a difference, He sees changes taking place in all of our lives. He keeps working. And see, that's the work of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're always at work, and work means verb. It's a word in action. God is always in action. And in verse 1, it tells us that. So God has been actively working to bring about a bright day, a sunny day for His people. And day and night, the scripture, verse 1 says, that our non-resting Christ pleads for the people and the city that crucified Him. See, they didn't recognize Christ as a true Messiah. He never rests. He's always active, involved in our lives. So it's in answer to His supplications that Zion or Jerusalem one day will rise from her spiritual ruins. And she will. According to what Isaiah is saying here, we are all recipients of Jesus' intercessions. Aren't you glad? In Romans chapter 8, it says that the Holy Spirit in Christ is interceding for us and with groanings that we may not recognize, but we know God is praying, or Jesus is praying for us, and His prayers are very, very real. So, verse 2 points out what happens when His people shine with God's salvation and righteousness. It says, the nations will see your righteousness and all your kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. Now, when we look at this, the work of God will no longer be hidden within the lives of His people. That's why I say it will not be silent. There's a watchman that is over Jerusalem, over Zion. And that watchman is a spiritual watchman along with a physical watchman. But the nations, it says, and the kings will see their righteousness and their glory that it will bring them at some point in time in the near future. So the mention of kings implies even kings will submit to God's people new condition and their identity. Their identity is very important because they are in relationship and connection and descendants of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is very important. So God's people's reputation will be so transformed that God will give them, each of them, and I'm going to say you and me, a new name. And that's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, if you'd like to look it up. We will be given a new name. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, and Isaiah 56, going back a few chapters, verse 5. Similar to when God changed Abraham and Jacob and Simon and Saul's name. It was for a reason, and that reason is to reflect a new condition or the character of the work of salvation that God provides in their lives. So God will name His people in accordance with what they are and who they are. In verse 3, it contains another indication of the transformation of both the people and their condition. When it says, "You also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord with a royal diadem," or if you can imagine a turban, a crown, a royal diadem, that's what it would be in verse 3, are used to express the greatness of God's handiwork in the lives of those who shine with His righteousness. What a precious, precious sight or scene that Isaiah is pointing here, painting for us here. It's in His care and His protection. The royal beauty will be recognized in verse 3. So God will graciously bless those that will trust Him and believe His promises far more than they could for themselves. So now in verse 4, as we move on to it, gives us a change of condition, and it's further expressed as we move into verse 4 by a change of names. Now, the future will be entirely different for God's people. It will change, and they will no longer be forsaken nor desolate, according to verse 4. So, but they will be called My Delight in Her. That's what Isaiah is saying. That's what God is saying. My delight in her. He will be delighted because of their change of their heart, the way they've changed their life, the salvation that He provided for them and still provides for them even to this day. And He will restore them as His people. So when the people stop trying to exalt themselves and turn to God through the servant, He will bless them so that they become the fruitful instead of barren of their relationship in the past. So they will become a blessing in the future. Now in verse 5, as we move on and see it, it continues to use the thought of marriage. The marriage of the church, the bride and the groom, God's people, the relationship, the intimacy that God has for His people. It says, "For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. As the exhortation of the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." And one of these days that'll take place. So with all of that, God's ancient people endured what a source of comfort it would be to meditate upon their being called My Delight is in You, or My Delight is You. That includes us. They was talking about earlier in verse 4, delight in her being Zion. But the new name, if you go back and look at Revelation 22, we all will be given a new name in our heavenly place with the Lord. Now, next, we're going to see the watchman must not hold their peace. There is a watchman. A watchman over Jerusalem. There's a watchman over us. That can be, which is physically, and it is a physical state. So in verses 6 through 9 contains assurance that God will not forget His promises to you and me. He won't forget His promises to Zion. In verse 6, calls upon God's intercessors to preserve in prayer for the promises of God, to persevere in His promises. So on verse 6 it says, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed a watchman. All day, all night, they will never keep silent." Always letting you know that God is watching over you, that He is protecting you, that He's providing for you. So, in the latter part of this verse says, you will remind the Lord, take no rest for yourself. So God always has had and will have a watchman. They are appointed by Him and placed upon the walls, again, both spiritually and representative. Aren't you glad that God represents you? Christ represents us, and we're always in God's mind. He's always providing for us. So, the watchmen are again called upon to continually to intercede. In verse 7, and give Him no rest until He establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. A praise in the earth. Jerusalem one of these days will be high and lifted up because that's where our Savior is from. That's where He will reign one of these days when He comes back for 1,000 years. So this challenge reminds us that we ought not to lose courage. Even when we see nothing but ruin, misery, and despair within this world, so it is still our duty to pray that the Lord will restore Zion, and He will in His time. It is coming. It's in the works now. Even Jerusalem, because we know that He promises He will do it. Here's something else I want us to remember. And we need to learn ourselves. Let us learn to turn our minds and hearts to God. Not only in the good times, but in crucial times, in times of hardships and so forth, that He may not permit our labors to be unsuccessful. That should be our prayer. And remember that the purpose of His work through us is to bring praise to Himself. And I shared the message concerning the praise that we should get up in the morning with praise upon our lips. And that's what we should be doing, to remember that the purpose of His work through us is to bring praise to Himself, in this case, by bringing Jerusalem praise and fame among all nations. Remember, every nation who blesses Zion will be blessed. But if nations do not bless Israel or Jerusalem or Zion, they're headed for destruction. That's what the Scripture tells us. Now, in verse 8, promises that in the new Jerusalem, the fruits of one's labor will never again be taken by others. Now, the fulfillment of the covenant promises of God depend on His strong arm, as it says here in the Scripture, that is, His strength and His ability. And we know that God has all strength. He has all ability. He is all powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, according to Hebrews, as we read that. And the arm of the Lord is usually associated with the servant Messiah and His work. And we see God's work at hand every day of our life. So the Lord affirms on the strength and the ability of the Messiah Himself that keeps all of His promises. So the strength and the might of the mighty of this world will be broken. See, nations are authorities that think they're in power or in control. It's going to have a rude awakening one of these days, because it talks about God's strong arm. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that has the last say so in this world to all nations that do not follow His commands and His precepts. But when we cast ourselves on the arm of the Lord, looking at chapter 33, verse 2, of this of Isaiah, he will never fail us. Chapter 33, verse 2 says that God will never fail us. Now, from verse 9, we learn that in that day, Zion's spiritual blessing will be enjoyed by those who deserve them. Not everybody deserves them, but those who do will. Because listen to what it says. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink in the courts of my sanctuary. So when we believe that the only reason that we are blessed or being blessed is because of the superior ability, our karma, commerce, or the foresight, the seeds of pride are sown. If that's the only reason, if that's the only way that we think, is our ability and our commerce and our foresight, we're badly mistaken. All is the gift from the Lord. Everything that we have, the hand of God is delights to bless His children so we might know the true joy and the love that He provides in our lives. Now, going to the last two verses, I've gone through these pretty quickly. I'd like to share more time with these. But I encourage you today to just read and study Isaiah chapter 62 and see what Isaiah is referring to in the blessings of the nature of our relationship with God in relationship with Zion, and that we have a watchman over us. God is our watchman. He provides watchmen, the spiritual and the physical as well. So, according to Isaiah, they will not be silent. They will make the alarm sound. And that's the prophecy that Isaiah is giving us now, that we may know, that we know His promises and His covenant to Zion and to His people are true. All right, in verse 10 through 12, it summarizes the import of what is being promised and called to the believers to act. And we have a responsibility, the blessings for God's workmen. So those of Zion are instructed to prepare the way for the salvation of a multitude. And that is coming. And Revelation prophesies that as well. So having sworn to bless their work, in verse 10 right here, God calls His people to assist people on their way to Him. Verse 10 says, go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the people. So, as we look at what Isaiah is saying here, only as the people of God act together in faith, we act together in faith, along with the people of God, Zion, Jerusalem, the way for each other, people will come to salvation, and they will know the true and living God, Messiah. He is who He says He is. And He came. And He will come again one of these days. And people will know and understand at that point that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every tongue will confess, and every knee shall bow in His presence. Absolutely. Amen. And in verse 11, as we look to the last couple of verses, verse 11 asked His people everywhere to proclaim to the world that the Savior of mankind has arrived, and He is the true Messiah, which says, behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the earth, and is and will continue to proclaim to the ends of the earth. Says the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, your reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. So, Isaiah is saying the Lord has offered salvation and there will be rewards of those who join him in this great work. That means you, that means me. If we join him in this great work, proclaiming the coming Messiah, for those who don't know the Messiah, will know the Messiah through our witness. And if we want to be a part of that work continually, God says there will be that reward, there will be that blessing. And I know that each one of us want to be a part of that. I know you do, and I do. So the result and reward would be exalted by Christ. According to 2 Corinthians 5:12, we will be known by our works, whether they be good or whether they be bad. That's what Paul says. For those who follow the Lord and do good works, then we will be known by them. And part of the resulting change of the coming of God's salvation to his people is relayed here in verse 12, the last verse. Now, I'm closing right here, just a few minutes. In verse 12, it says, and they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called, sought out, a city for not forsaken. Now, I want to point out four things just in this verse. Now, I'll put them up on the screen. And there they are. Four relational terms this verse just said are given. The end of the result of God's work is that his people, the daughter of Zion, will be called holy people. One of these days they'll be called holy people because they will turn to the true Messiah. They will recognize the true Messiah, and they will be reminded from generations back how they had rejected the true Messiah, and now that they see him face to face and know him as he is known and as we know him, then they will believe and he will call them holy people. Oh, why? Why the delay? Why does nations and people have to wait so long to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he says he is? The scriptures, we have the scriptures. It tells us plainly in black and white. The Holy Spirit teaches us that through his word. Why do we not believe that as a people, as nations, but would be a holy, holy people? And then the next name, they will be called the redeemed of the Lord. Next, they will be called the sought out by the Lord, also by others, a relationship of worth and dignity. And then lastly, the fourth, we will abide with the Lord and therefore be called a city not forsaken. Those are the four relational terms, those relationships that we have with the Lord. Those are the things that Isaiah points out that one of these days will take place. A united people in the Lord. As we close, God has given us a glimpse of the glorious future that lies at the end of God's highway of faith. And his servants will become holy people doing justice and righteousness. Something that we don't see every day, but it is coming. And the same grace of God which saved us will transform us, enable us to live holy lives. And as we wait for God to fulfill those promises, going back again, praise him. Praise him. Thank him for allowing you to be born in a nation such as the United States and having the freedom And having the freedom to worship, have your own Bible, to go to church of your choosing. Thank Him that you was able and you was mentored or you was shown the Lord Jesus Christ in your early life. He saved you, and now you're able to live and serve Him on a daily basis in a free nation, free country. That you did believe, that you haven't had to wait like Zion. But now we all know Him personally. And again, remember, those who bless Zion will be blessed. Pray for Zion. Pray for Jerusalem. All of these things are going to be taking place one of these days. But in the process, let's pray for the nation of Zion, Jerusalem, Israel. Because God's promises are going to be fulfilled. And we can be a part of that. And we are a part of that, of God's kingdom. We'll all be a part of God's kingdom. And we'll see that firsthand when He comes back one of these days. Are we going to be with the Lord before He returns? But what a great prophecy Isaiah, the picture he points, is painting for us as we read it and as we study it. We understand that we are part of God's kingdom. And we are to be missionaries, intercessors, in the same time praising God for who He is and what He means to us personally. Our Father God, we thank You for the message that Isaiah has given us this morning through Your Scripture. And thank You for the message, Lord, that You breathe upon our hearts and our minds and giving us clarity, clear minds, pure minds, hearts, to understand what this means to us as Your people as well. We know that Zion is Your chosen people. But Lord, You reach out to the whole world, according to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You never discluded anyone, but You included everyone for salvation and righteousness. Help us to live up to that. And when we received Christ as our Savior, we were given the name, the new name, Christian. And may we carry that with pride and honor and give You the glory for saving us. And one of these days, Zion will be reunited, restored back to You. Lord, help us to pray for nations. Help us pray for one another, our churches, that we will see the true light, which is Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, Invitation, is Sing Jesus. It'll be, the words will be on the screen this morning. Let us stand as we sing. Thank you. You may be seated, please. Each Sunday when we come together, as we hear the Word and it's revealed to us, it helps us to better understand why we're on this earth. God placed us here. You know, you ever think about that? How God personally put you here? I think about that quite often. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your plan, your purpose. Thank you for me understanding that as I grew up, got older, that when I did wrong, that was a sin, and I needed Jesus in my life. Thank you for the salvation that you gave me through Jesus Christ. I thank him often for that. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, it makes a significant difference in our relationship with the Lord, knowing what he went through to provide that salvation. That he died on the cross. He gave his life, shed his blood. His body was bruised beyond recognition. As the Bible says, and as history points out, that Jesus was unrecognizable as a human being when he was crucified. Well, that should really sink deep in our hearts, that sacrificial love, that a person would give up their life for their friend. And I call you my friend, Jesus said to disciples. He calls us his friends. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it, and he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant. Say, we have a new covenant. We have a new name one of these days. Which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. The shedding of Jesus' blood for the remissions of our sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He did that for us. Father God, we thank you for this special moment as we'll be taking the bread and the cup that symbolizes your death, your bruised body, your shedding of blood. And you tell us that we are to examine ourselves and we not take the bread and the cup unworthily, but we take it to glorify you in our lives, in everything that we do. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. When you came in, you were given a cup, all one unit of in this little container here, the bread and the wafer. The wafer and the juice. They are waste baskets as you go out. If you go out the front or outside here, just hold on to this till you leave and then drop it in the waste basket as you go out. But as before, just take your thumb or finger and just kind of brush up, and you pull that first little tab up. It's clear. And just pull it back as far as possible to get the wafer, and then the second time to get the juice out. That way, hopefully, you won't spill it on yourself. We try to do it as easy as possible and have a true meaning of our worship the Lord through the bread and the cup. Larry Sutherland's going to bless our bread. Amen. Jesus said, take the bread which resembles my bruised body. Likewise, Jesus blessed the cup as well. And Junior Powell is going to bless our the cup, taking up the cup. Amen. Thank you. The juice represents the new covenant that Jesus made with us. And he said to the disciples, drink from the cup, all of you. Again, just hold on to your cup till you exit the door and place it in the wastebasket. The scripture says after they took the bread and the cup that they sang a song. It had to be blessed be the tie, didn't it? And then they went out to the Mount of Olives. And we know that Jesus spent a lot of his time in the Mount of Olives praying to the Heavenly Father. May we do that as well. Also today, to help you better understand Isaiah chapter 62, and Isaiah, read Daniel chapter 9, verses starting at verse 2 through 19, and that'll give you a perspective of what we're experiencing in our world today, along with what Isaiah is saying. But Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 19, and make you be aware of our situations within the world today. It really will. So let's stand and let's sing together, blessed be the tie that binds. Words on the screen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.